Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Looking for a new high-end mascara without breaking the bank? The new L'Oreal Paris Panorama Mascara gives you a high-end lash look in a premium gold luxe packaging. It's all about panoramic volume and fully fanned out lashes. With its tapered brush, the new Panorama Mascara catches every single lash, giving you the false lash look without any of the hassle. Say goodbye to clumps and flakes, because this mascara is specially formulated to resist them all day with up to 24-hour wear. And the best part? It performs better than Luxe mascaras at only a fraction of the cost. You can buy Panorama Mascara on Amazon today.
Hello and welcome, everyone. I'm Travis Cronin, and you're listening to Us Weekly's Hot Hollywood Podcast, where we share details and insight on the biggest celebrity stories of the week. Today, I'm joined by two proper Hollywood fangirls, beauty whisperer Gwen Flamberg.
Oh, yes, I am. Hello.
And frequent contributor to the Hallmark Christmas movie Conspiracy Reddit, Sarah Heron.
I didn't know that existed, but I should get on that as soon as possible. Hello, Travis.
Hello. Yeah, I think it shares, you know, upcoming secrets of the season, who's gone silent on social media, who's starring in them, all of those type of, you know, conspiracies and subreddit things. Well, today on this, you know, version of a subreddit, we have a female celebrity's run to the White House, a Kardashian unphotoshopped gaffe, a tense royal meeting, an arrest, a jail release, a superstar's wedding, and an actor who's moved out of his mother's basement. Before we start, let's, you know, look at what made our hosts go whoa this week. A look at some of the most ridiculous stories coming out of Hollywood. Sarah, what made you go whoa this week?
Wow, just Joey Lawrence, is that you?
Yes, he's actually our guest.
I wish it was a couple years ago and my whoa could be Joey Lawrence having to sell his clothes because he was bankrupt. But alas, we're going back even farther in time because Holly Madison and Kendra Wilkinson's feud is back in the news, and that made me go whoa because I am obsessed with Girls Next Door. I read both of Holly's memoirs. I read Kendra's memoirs. I watched the spinoffs. I have no idea why I have this weird, unhealthy obsession with Playboy, but I just do, apparently. And in case you missed it, Holly went on Call Her Daddy, the Barstool podcast, and kind of spoke about all the things she already talked about in her book. So, like, it wasn't crazy revelations, but just seeing Hugh and Holly back in the news, I was just, like, so excited. And she clapped back at Kendra, who in Kendra's book said that she didn't have to sleep with Hugh before – or Hef – before they went into the mansion, that she didn't have to have sex with him before she started living there. And Holly was like, that is just not true. No one moved into the mansion without sleeping with Hugh Hefner. That is just a fact. So now Kendra is up in the comments being like, girl, it's 2021. Why are you talking about this? And it's just, it's so good. And I need them to reboot Girls Next Door and make them live in a mansion and go on vacation together.
I think it might be a little problematic if they brought it back. I think people might have some things to say that they did not back then.
Totally. It's wild. Honestly, just reading these headlines, like Holly Madison recalls sex life with Hugh Hefner. It's like, what year is it? And how was this ever like celebrated?
And, you know, isn't Bridget doing really well now? She got her PhD and she's like married and living her best happy life.
I think that Bridget managed to like live a normal life. Obviously, Kendra went on to have like 7 WeTV spinoffs and Hank cheated on her. And then Holly had Holly's World and she was married, but got divorced, named her daughter Rainbow. Like just so much to unpack with these ladies at all times. So I went, whoa. Oh,
I love that. Whoa. Gwen, what made you whoa this week?
Well, whoa, Trav, whoa. I, you know, always want to be a little bit younger, but I've never wanted to be 2 before. And now I would like to be 2 because Cardi B went shopping for her 2-year-old daughter, Culture, and she bought her not 1, not 2, but 7 designer handbags, Trav, a Chanel bag, a Dior bag, a Dolce & Gabbana bag. I mean, these handbags totaled definitely $13,000, maybe even up to $20,000. And like, whoa, I want those handbags in my closet. Cardi was just unapologetic. You know, she was like, I've got to spoil my little precious one. And she sure did.
She actually dressed her up today and posted her on Instagram with one of her new purses. And you know what? I would say she looks about $13,000 to $20,000 of amazing. So money well spent.
No, totally. And you know, Cardi even Instagrammed, like, you know, why was I supposed to have a kid if not to like dress her up like my baby doll, you know? So I'm here for it. I'm here for the handbags on the toddler.
Would love some lavish luxury on toddlers, whatever the age may be, if they got the cash. Well, what made me go whoa this week was Katy Perry on American Idol. And it wasn't because she was wearing like a gigantic popsicle dress or anything. It was that she stopped shaving her legs after she gave birth. And I thought that was just sort of really cool. And she's like, you know, I don't have time. The kid bothers me all the time. I'm in the shower. And she just kicked up her stilettos and was like, here's my hairy legs. Enjoy. You know, everyone do their own thing. Thought it was lovely. Support you and your hairy legs, Katy Perry.
You go, girl.
You go. You wear those hairy legs with some stilettos. You break the norms. Okay, let us move into some of the news. Well, we have to start off with a very tense reunion that's coming up that I would love to be a fly on the wall for, and hopefully our sources make it so they paint a lovely picture for us. We are talking about Prince Harry and William, who are meeting before the Diana statue reveal in England in July. Harry and William will have their first face-to-face reunion. This will be their first time meeting after the tell-all interview in July. And William is insisting to see Harry, says a source, before the special event. But sources tell us that Harry is refusing to meet up and, quote, won't be bossed around. The insider adds, if Harry acts up on the day or even worse, doesn't show up, William will never forgive him. William and Harry haven't seen each other in over a year. And with so much drama having gone in between them, friends are worried that there will be a showdown when they come face to face at the unveiling of their mother's statue. Honestly, I'm just nervous. We've heard that the communication between them has been sparse and only over email and WhatsApp. They haven't had any FaceTime meetings since the interview, and the statue is the only topic that they have discussed. So their reunion will be chilly at best, the source says. Gwen, Royal File, what do you think is going to happen? If you had to look in your crystal ball, how is this meeting going to go down in July?
I would like to think that if there's one thing that can bring these two together, it's the memory of their mother. So I feel like this is going to be a real come to Jesus for these two, or a come to Diana, if you will. But I think that this might be the icebreaker that we all need.
I think
it's good that it's just going to be the two of them.
Great theory. Sarah Huron, you look a little bit more skeptical.
No, I mean, I love that. I hope for that. I feel as though it's going to be brief for the public version, at least. We're going to see like a quick smile, you know, maybe little bow your head moment of silence, quick statement speech, looking at the statue, and then back into their separate worlds. And that's going to be that. And we're probably going to hear maybe if they met up before, if they didn't, from our sources. But I don't think as the public is going to get much. And who knows? I mean, if they're like wearing masks and stuff, we won't even be able to like get the whole body language, like Us Weekly body language, what we do best could even be tampered with if we have masks on. So I'm hoping for the best. But with this family, I have, you know, I've kind of given up hope, if I'm being honest.
They seem really, really fractured. And I'm worried about like anything going well between the brothers and Harry and his father and everybody. I really feel like the damage is sort of done forever. Meghan Markle is going from Royal Doghouse to the White House. Now, we talked about this a little bit last week about the royal biographer saying that she was running, but now we have sources telling us that yes, Meghan is angling herself for a run at the presidency. Sources tell us that Meghan is full of ambition and wants to create more good in the world, and she sees the presidency as the best way to do it. The source also tells us that she has met with Kamala Harris's people, she has gotten involved with local California politics and already started making relationships within the States, and that every move she's making right now is carrying her closer to the presidency. Sarah, what do you think about her meeting with Kamala Harris's team and reaching out to, you know, all these businesses that she's doing too? They're mainly women and people of color, and sort of setting herself up in that way.
I've always thought that Meghan Markle could make a difference in a lovely way, especially when she was a member of the royal family, because they need it maybe a little bit more. We need it too, but, you know, they really need it over there. But, and I still think she's going to be able to do so. I don't think politics are the answer. I think this is wrong and stupid. But I think she's going to make a difference no matter what she does. And I don't think that, I think that she should stick with the charity aspects and stuff because it just makes more sense. And I don't know. Ariel didn't run for president, so I don't think this is going to work out.
Ariel could have run for president simply because she's a gorgeous redhead. But really, you guys, you know, I feel like Kamala Harris is a smart cookie, and she would love to have Meghan's help where Meghan can reach people and affect change. However, like, I'm sure behind her back, Kamala is like, bitch, please. This girl thinks that she can run for office. So, you know, I'd love to be a fly on the wall for those meetings. But listen, come on, Megs, keep it real.
Well, we'll see what happens, because it seems that she is on that path and no one will stop her. Before we stop talking about the royals and get into some local favorites over here, there was a recent poll that was done in the UK, and if it was a popularity contest, William would win the crown against Charles to be crowned the Grand Ultimate Supreme, or the King of the Nation. They polled all of these millennials and young people, and everybody agreed fervently that they want to see Charles skipped and just go immediately to William. And actually, a lot of people voted for Harry even over Charles in this poll, but mainly of them went for William. Now, I know it's hard to sort of find that if this is actually going to happen. Do we think that Charles might give up the crown and pass it on to William just because he's so unpopular, or would he never?
No, because this has been talked about for so long, and I just don't think it's actually going to happen.
You don't think he'll step aside?
I do.
No.
I think that he'll abdicate. I do. First of all, I don't think that he really has an interest in being the sovereign. I think that he likes to kind of work on his environmental causes and also sort of keep a little bit more of a low profile and kind of live his life in the country with his, you know, wife who he had an affair with on Diana for many, many years. But whatever. He's happy with her. They're in love. I also think that maybe part of Harry and Meghan's aim with the tell-all was to, you know, in a blind item way, kind of smear Charles enough so that, you know, the people really don't want the old way in the monarchy, and they would, you know, really advocate to have William and Kate step up. And quite honestly, you know, I think that in all of the conversations, allegedly, that the crown and the firm are having right now, they seem to be wanting to kind of shift the monarchy to be more modern. And I think that the easiest way for them to do that would just be to strongly suggest that Charles abdicate and have William and Kate take over. You know, when they do, Elizabeth's not giving up the throne anytime soon. And by the way, her mother lived to 103. So,
great. Let's see what happens. I think she can make it to 107 at least. She looks good. Well, he hath risen. That is, Mossimo hath risen. The husband of Lori Loughlin has been brought a lovely present by the Easter Bunny. He has been released from jail. Sarah Heron, what can you tell us about this fashion designer who's now on the loose?
You know what? Mossimo, an Easter miracle, as you said, was released from jail 3 weeks early, probably on good behavior. No, well, we know that earlier this year, Mossimo was complaining and trying to get out of jail and finish his sentence in home confinement because he had been in isolation for longer than expected with some corona stuff. And the judge shut him down pretty quickly. So I was surprised at this. But the last 3 weeks of his sentence, he has been released and he is serving them at home. We know his older son, who is not Lori Loughlin's, has confirmed that he and his sisters, my girl Olivia Jade and Bella, picked all three of them, went over on Thursday night, stayed near the jail, and picked up Massimo, brought him home. You know, all is right over in there in that mansion with the Loughlin Gianulli family. So we can only hope that this will, you know, be featured in Olivia Jade vlog sometime soon.
That's all I want, is that day getting ready. Spend the day with me grabbing my dad from jail. How we, you know, overcame the odds staying at a shitty motel by the jail, and how I still look great.
Did you see her TikTok that she was getting all the shit for?
No, I did not. What did she do?
She posted this TikTok that was like basically saying, if, you know, she heard one time from some wise person that if I'm drowning in 30 feet water and someone is drowning in 60 feet water, it doesn't mean that I'm not drowning just because they're drowning in 60 feet water. And we can all, you know, all my suffering or my pain doesn't take away from somebody else's and vice versa. And everyone was like, homie, I don't know who you're comparing yourself to here, but like your pain was a little different than other people's as you recover in your brand new apartment that's gorgeous that you just documented on your YouTube channel.
I definitely don't think that her pain is, you know, that rough because she's so rushed, but also because, you know, she was in on this and it was a conscious choice to pay $500,000 to get both of their daughters in. It was really not even something tragic that had just happened to them.
No, it was wild.
You know, tone deaf Olivia Jade will hopefully always be. It's a little part of her magic, isn't it?
It is. It really is. I mean, I think she's back up to 2 million subscribers. So people are hating, but they're also watching. So, you know, we're all part of the problem.
Lady Whistledown is here. With all eyes on the Duke of Hastings quest, could it be that he's hastily dashed from promenading his bare bottom in our upcoming second season? But which road has our steamy bedfellow taken out of Bridgerton? My little birds say the Duke has in fact made a haste and run away. The Duke will be shaking his royal cakes to London for a role of bigger proportions that he is bonded to. Yes, I'm talking about Roger Jean Page. He has left Bridgerton season 2 and people are pissed. He posted a photo of him on a horse. He said, "This has been the ride of a lifetime. It's been an absolute pleasure to be your Duke and joining this family." He reportedly turned down $50,000 per episode. And he's also reportedly in talks to be the new James Bond. Now, I sort of hate watched Bridgerton, but I don't know if you guys liked it. And I know that he's not in the book series, so his storyline is sort of already played out and he would just be a secondary character. But I mean, that beautiful face, I think, was a big draw for a lot of people watching the show. Gwen, I know you liked it. Were you devastated to hear Roger is gone?
Devastated, because here's the thing, it's not just his face and what he looks like. The Duke of Hastings is a pivotal character. You know, the Duke of Hastings and Daphne's relationship is what people connected to, not just that he's smoking hot. We all burn for him and we burn for him in the character. And quite honestly, like, what's the big deal, homie? You can't like make some cameo appearances. Obviously, the Duke of Hastings and Daphne live outside of London now, and season 2 is all about the brother, Anthony. But, I mean, isn't he going to make a cameo? Come on, why so harsh?
I think with COVID and everything that you have to stay in a hotel for 2 weeks before filming.
Okay, Travis. Okay. This show literally, I know he's on other shows. He's in the Shondaland universe. He was on For the People, that short-lived Shonda show that I actually watched. But I mean, come on. This show gave him so much fame so quickly. Obviously, they asked him to do some sort of shorter version because I know the show's shifting. I never finished Bridgerton. I have every intention to. It just kind of, I watched like 5 in one day and then never went back. But I feel as though it was a rash decision and he should have just gone and done the one episode or whatever they probably wanted him to, that he would have gotten paid so much freaking money, because this is like what he is famous for. And it's like, it's too soon to already being like, I'm over it. Like that, I don't like that. Like, it rubs me the wrong way, even though everyone's saying he's such a nice guy. I'm sure he is, but like, come on, give something to the fans.
But is this part of the narrative? Like, now in 4 weeks, is there going to be a press release that he has decided to come back and he is, after all, going to be in an episode or two? Because that would like create probably even more fear.
only reason I think no is because I feel like they would have announced this at the beginning when they announced season two, because they announced season two in January and said that the shift is going to be about the brother or whatever. And it was implied that everyone else was still going to be there. And like weeks later, we get this that he's not coming back, which makes me think the last couple weeks there's been negotiations, there's been talk, there's been begging him to do it. And then he was like, no.
Right.
He's like, I'm probably going to be James Bond, and this filming is much more important. Like, good luck on your little show. The question is,
Homegirl's still going to be on it, which I don't get. Phoebe's coming back, I think.
She's coming back. And does that mean that we would like to see Pete Davidson on the show?
Oh my God. Can we talk about the Pete Davidson of it all? You guys confirmed they're dating.
Yes, we did confirm.
When someone becomes famous, does Pete Davidson's phone just start ringing? And it's like, oh, we got a new It Girl. It's time to be spotted with Pete. Like, it's wild to me how this happens nonstop.
He is just looking on usmagazine.com and he's just looking to see like, hey, I see your star is rising. You want a little bit of this sad guy? You want some of this? Oh. I think he'd be a great Duke on the show. I'm just kidding. He would be horrible.
Oh, God, no.
But he's luckily moved up in the world. He has moved out of his mother's basement. It is really exciting for us. The 27-year-old has moved out of her basement and is into his own luxury condo. He finally purchased his pad for $1.2 million just before the new year. And his condo is about 35 minutes away from his mom, so he can still be there a lot. And this is really exciting for me because I actually went through a math sort of spiraling downhole where I figured out how much he made per episode and how much per year and looked at real estate in the area on SNL. Because I thought he made only maybe like 5 to 15,000 an episode, but it's like, you know, 30 to 50 an episode. So I was trying to figure out how many episodes, how many makes per year. He's making about like 300 to 500,000 a year. I was like, you can afford your own place. It is time to move out of your mother's apartment. So I mean, good for him, I guess.
Get some feedback that we were too harsh on Pete Davidson last week when we suggested that he shouldn't be dating Phoebe. So I would just like to say that it has nothing to do with his mental health struggles. We were just commenting on his dating a lot of different people at like very quickly. It was more so what our point was.
I'm really not telling them to run because of his mental health. I'm telling them to run because of his horrible track record of picking women. I just don't think he picks the right women. Well, another pairing that, you know, might seem tumultuous for a couple of reasons. Don't call her a prostitution whore, but you can call her boyfriend by his inmate number. Luis Ruedas, Teresa Giudice's new boyfriend, we just found was charged with a simple assault following a road rage incident in Allendale, New Jersey in August 2018. According to the police report, this is where it gets kind of fun. Luis got into an altercation after he stopped short to avoid hitting a squirrel. The driver tried to pass him, so Luis gave him the finger, according to the docs. Upon reaching the stop sign, Luis allegedly pulled in front of the other vehicle, charged at the driver's side door, and a verbal argument ensued. And then the guy tried to roll up his window, and then Luis stuck his hand on the side of his head, knocking his sunglasses off, grabbed the top of the window, and began rocking the car back and forth. This is sort of scary. Sarah, is this a red flag or just a Jersey thing?
Well, I was going to say, up until the rocking of the car, this just seemed like every other Wednesday in New Jersey. Born and raised in New Jersey, I mean, the amount of times I've been flipped off while driving, and I haven't driven in years, but I was a pretty bad driver, and being flipped off was pretty standard, and you come to expect it in the dirty Jers. If anything, I feel like this is something Teresa probably didn't mind hearing. You know, she likes a man who sticks up for himself. We watched Juicy Joe. He had a temper. It's part of her type, I think. I don't love the rocking of the car. That's not great. But I'm kind of rooting for Teresa and this man. We saw them in the Bahamas. I think that was really cool that he wanted, you know, to make amends with Joe Giudice and have the whole family come together and all for the kids. He has two sons. I ship it. So, you know, keep the temper in line. Maybe go to some anger management. Stop driving in New Jersey if you have to. It can be tumultuous. I get it. But I'm just want Tree to be happy.
I do too. I think this could be a situation where they're both sort of hot-headed and it could work out really, really well for them. But someone who like chases someone down and jumps out of the car it's sort of you, when we see photos of them and we hear him on the show, it sounds like they have a really passionate relationship. And this is sort of giving me a little bit of hesitation that his passion and lust for her could also turn into rage at like a moment's notice.
This happened to me. I was, when I was driving, leaving my SATs back in the day, ACTs, I was driving my friends home and it was in Kenilworth, New Jersey. And I literally, I cut someone off because I was a bad driver, like I said, and I was either going to hit the person in front of me or cut off the person next to me to, you know, because I was going too fast. And this guy literally followed me down. He came up next to my car. He was like screaming at me. I was trying to look focused. I go down a one-way street. He comes down it the other way, is like screaming at me. I'm just like screaming bloody to murder. My friend's in the car, like, he has a gun. I'm like, no, he doesn't. And then I just like got away. I come home. I just burst into tears. My mom was like, how are the ACTs? And I'm like, I think someone's after me. And like nothing ever happened.
You're like,
that's
New Jersey. You're like, hi, you're gonna need to pay some money because my ACT scores aren't great. Call Rick Singer.
I was like, I think he got my license plate number. Like, can I go to jail? Like, I was freaking out. But that's New Jersey. And don't be that alarmed.
That's very helpful that this is sort of something that happens. Last year, she said she was wearing a ring, but she wasn't going to be no misses. This songbird has changed her tune. Sources tell us that Ariana Grande will be getting married, and very soon. She will be getting married the weekend of Memorial Day, and she is looking at Santa Barbara for her possible wedding locations, but she's looking at a few different cities in California, but it'll happen really early on in the year. She is marrying her realtor, love, Dalton Gomez. They seem really happy. I'm happy that this wedding is moving up because he seems like a really good choice for her. Do we agree? Are we happy? Can we not wait for the photos like me?
I'm desperately awaiting with bated breath. I can't wait to see her wedding gowns because I'm sure there's going to be more than one wardrobe change. I just hope that this wedding happens, you guys. You know, I mean, track record, not great. So let's see until it happens. We'll see.
I agree. I know nothing about this relationship, which is probably a good thing because usually when celebrities keep it on the DL, that means there's, you know, they are protecting themselves. There's a lot of love there. My only worry is this seems like a mostly quarantine relationship. So I don't know if they've had enough time out in the real world yet to see if it's going to work, but I'm always rooting for Ari. I think she's really cute with this guy. But Gwen, I have a very important question. Does she go ponytail or no ponytail on the wedding day?
Ooh. I have a feeling there's going to be some changes with the wardrobe. Like, I am just going to go out on a limb and predict that with her gown, her hair is going to be completely up in a very like chic updo. And then for the wedding party, when she changes into like an amazing mini, she's going to do the classic
pop it on.
Genie ponytail, pop that shiz right on. Yes.
Ooh, Gwen, that was a good like fortune telling, a stylish updo for her gown. Absolutely. It's still pulled back. Will she finally trim the hairs on the back of her neck since her hair is always up? That is my hairstylist and my biggest issue. If your hair is always in a ponytail, I don't understand.
But I don't think that her hair is always in a ponytail. Her actual real hair, you guys, is like a bob. It's like a lob. It's like a lob, really. But when she performs, she puts on that pony. And you don't have a feeling that the updo, whatever chic chignon she does, that's going to be some additional hair as well. But she has the best team behind her. I'm sure that Chris Applegate will be doing her hair for her wedding. So let's see what happens. I hope it happens. Just give us the glam.
Give us the glam. And we heard it's going to be a small and intimate ceremony. Not a lot of people. Hashtag COVID. Happy for her. Happy for Dalton Gomez. And, you know, happy for this man. Well, I actually knew him. He was friends with Miley Cyrus for a while during her bangers age when she was friends with her best friend, Cheyenne, who was the Starbucks worker who she sort of took on. Dalton Gomez was sort of one of those guys that was friends with Miley. So he's been a little bit in the celebrity scene. I think that's probably how he and Ariana met.
Maybe Miley will marry them. That would be, you know, very chill.
Oh my God. It would be amazing. And we already know Miley's always trying to sleep with Ariana. So that might be a little strange. Jen Shah, the lady we cannot stop talking about. Sarah Huron, she is still possibly going to be filming for Bravo. I know you and I are hoping, playing, wishing to whatever powers that may be that we get to see her on cameras more this season. Tell us what's up.
I was on Jen Shah's call on Friday with the judge, me and probably like 300 people that didn't need to be there on mute this time after the Wednesday hearing. It was such a disaster this time when you called in and automatically put you on mute. Good to note. She pleaded not guilty to all charges against her. She is reposting pretty nonstop on Instagram her quote unquote supporters with these free Jen shirts, saying that the truth will come out and that there are lies about her, and thanking her Shaw squad. And it's wild to me that there are this many people she can repost. Something tells me once they saw the repost, they just jumped on the bandwagon to get a repost, but whatever. Yeah. You know, innocent until proven guilty in America. But yeah, sources have told us that Bravo has no plans to shy away from this. Legally, everything always, you know, it's interesting, but Bravo doesn't usually, they will bleep something out, but they will still tackle it in some way. We think back to Adrienne Maloof threatening to sue when Brandy mentioned she used a surrogate. They still talked about it. They just bleeped it. More recently, Madison LaCroix bringing up A-Rod at the reunion, or Craig bringing her up. They bleeped his name, but they talked about the married ex-MLB player. This, it's like, we know certain things about it. So sources are telling us that they're not shying away from it. They're going to show as much as they legally can. And Jen wants to be on the show. She's not running away. She
does.
Which
God
is,
bless her for it.
God bless her for it, but like, what a moron.
I know. And she is out on $1 million bond, and legal experts tell us that she is presumably free to be on the show. And that Bravo executives do see this as a huge chance because they really love the reality and will get it all. So when will season 2 come out? We do not know. I am very excited for all of this to go down. What did you think dialing in what her chances are with a judge? Like, when I went to Teresa Giudice's hearing, it was very clear to me that the judge was anti-Teresa, and I knew she was going to jail from like the first opening monologue, whatever they call it in there.
Monologue.
Yeah.
Absolutely similar vibes. Just like Lori and Massimo, the judge was pretty disgusted with Jen. They don't take kindly to reality stars or famous people taking advantage of the system or taking advantage of people. The thing that was also really interesting about the Jen hearing, though, is we learned that she doesn't own her house, which was kind of implied. That she doesn't really own anything. So there's so many, I feel like we're going to learn more. Her finances, like, more is going to come out. Like, they're going to be trying to collect money from her and probably discover this is even more of a facade than we thought. So that's gonna be interesting. And one of the best parts was I feel like Jen Shah's lawyers didn't even know what was going on. They called the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City a news show. It was wild. It was like,
oh my god,
this news show, the Housewives, and the judge was like, what else? Do we have an eyelash business? Like, it was a wild ride. Like, and then no one was like hearing each other. They're all contradicting each other. The government was like, no, we said this. It was like kind of a hot mess. So I have a feeling that this is gonna end in jail time and in a lot more revelations.
God. Doesn't Bravo do vetting of their cat, like when they're casting? I mean, it's kind of amazing.
I think a criminal enterprise is like a check in the plus column for a housewife. Be like, do they have something sinister going on behind the scenes? Absolutely, we would like to take that.
Yes,
yeah, your money seems shady. Please welcome to our show.
If you I feel like probably in their casting tapes, they like show off their money. And certain people, like you have a Camille Grammer, like, you know, she has real money. Like, she's Kelsey Grammer's was then wife. But then you have other people where it's like, wait, how do you get this? But that's part of the fun. And then for this, it was always sketchy from the beginning. But then you have like an Erica Jane situation where it's like, none of us, in my opinion, would have ever assumed that Tom Girardi was like up to this sketchy situation. No. So that was a surprise. The Jen thing, I almost feel like they had to know something was up when they cast her, because it was so sketchy, even from a viewer's point of view, of what her business was.
I'd also love to see Jen Shah coming in be like, Lily, I can't talk about that. Legally, I can't talk about that. She's like, I'm never wrong. You can't speak about this. Well, instead of celebrity birthday boxing match instead of a celebrity birthday boxing match this week, we are going to be dashing into the Kardashians. Stop the presses. A photo of Khloe Kardashian without Facetune or Photoshop has hit the interwebs, and she is not happy. Gwen Flamberg, tell us why this scandal is just getting bigger and bigger every moment.
I mean, reality bites, am I right? When you try to get the world to think that you look like an actual Barbie doll come to life, and then, oops, an assistant posts a picture that's actually what you really look like, you go a little crazy. What I think is really sad about this is that the family is blaming this assistant for like, oops, leaking this photo. How about you're constantly hanging out in a bikini around cameras simply to like Photoshop the bejesus out of your pictures? So I think that that's really sad. And it really all culminated when last night Khloé took to Instagram and went live, you guys, for any of her, how many millions of followers?
I was a witness.
Sarah watched this live.
I watched it.
I was screenshotting left and right. We had Ariana Grande playing. We had Kim. We had Khloé just picking up her sweatpants and sweatshirt, like stripping. It was a wild 30 seconds.
So she went live to dance around, showing off her body to try to prove to her millions of followers that she actually does have a great body. I mean, like, you know, the original photo, everybody doesn't necessarily look amazing in a bikini photo. It depends on the angle.
But Khloé looks great in the photo.
She has an incredible body. Also, she has a beautiful color hair and a beautiful face, which is not the color hair or the facial structure that you normally see in her photos. So, you know, I think that
her face looks like she looks like back in the day, like old school. Right. And they show the like throwback videos on the Kardashians. Like her face looks beautiful. She doesn't look tan. Other than that, she looks ridiculous. It makes me so sad that this is the photo that can't be seen.
She actually looks incredibly beautiful. And then what really bothered me is that after she went live for the people, she then posted to her Instagram account main feed, just in case, onto the grid, in case if you weren't one of the lucky few who happened to catch the live like you were, Sarah, she posted with the lead photo being this like nearly nude photo of herself wearing just a nude color thong, obviously Skims, but like, it's semi-pornographic. You don't need to show all of your followers who live and breathe by every single thing that you do that the solution is to pose practically naked.
Yeah.
To prove the point of what your body looks like. Like, be proud of who you are.
And she jumped up and down, like, to try to show that she doesn't have fat.
I'm not jiggling.
I guess, yeah. And, like, I do – part of me gets it. Like, Khloé was always my favorite. Khloé was an icon.
Right.
I read Strong Looks Better Naked. I was so proud of her revenge body. Like, but I loved her before too. And she was always gorgeous. And if she like gave people hope, but then also like respect, like she did get in shape. She did do the work. I'm sure there were surgeries involved, whatever, it's Hollywood. But I do believe she does work out, eats healthy and whatever. But then for this photo, for her to still look great in the photo, it to cause such a stir, to be so upsetting to the family that it got out, is just really uncool, because it's a great photo. That's the problem here.
Absolutely. It's an incredible photo. And I just feel like I agree with you, Sarah, that Khloé was always my favorite, because she was the one that was like a little bit less guarded, manufactured. She had the personality. She was the most vulnerable. Even on the show, she was the most vulnerable, but also like seemed to be the one who was the most secure and the one who exhibited the most self-love. And for her to go to these lengths now just makes me feel like she's super insecure. And it just sets a terrible tone for those millions of followers who, you know, just want to be her.
It really sets a terrible tone, because her body looked amazing in that picture. She was just, Sarah, you're right. She just wasn't tan. That was the only thing. It was taken from maybe not the best angle in the whole world that you wouldn't post to the grid, but she looked fine. She had like striations in her abs. And for anyone that doesn't have that, and Khloé's, you know, hiring lawyers and her PR teams to try to get this erased from the internet, is really like unvalidating other people's bodies. And then with her live yesterday, as you know, a spray tan magician that I am, I can see that those colors around her abs are like four shades darker than her body. And she painted those on with tan and body makeup before she went live. And it's just, it's really hard to see her do this. I want her to love herself more.
Well, you know all those tricks, Trav, don't you? Body tanning. But, you know, here's another point that I thought of, is that nobody knows how this game works better than the Kardashians.
Right.
And everybody knows that the way to like draw attention to something that you don't want up is to demand to pull it down. So I feel like this is a little bit more manufactured maybe than we want to believe. And that's also like why I just want to understand why, because I think that it sheds a negative light.
Yeah. If it was manufactured, though, wouldn't the response be, how dare you guys suggest that that photo, like, yeah, that photo was leaked without permission and that's a whole other issue. But like, how dare you guys suggest that there's anything wrong with that photo when most people aren't, but anyone who is, like, that would have been the narrative to present. This narrative is like, she's actually like trying to deny that that photo exists because she's saying that she's allowed to present whatever narrative she wants on social media, which is true. We all use filters, Facetune, Photoshop, whatever. Right. And it's good to be open about that, which she is. But all she had to say was, this is what I really look like. Of course, we all love a little filter every now and then, but I'm proud of my body and whatever. But instead it was like, how dare you look at this photo of me without a filter? Like, oh my God, Chloe, I was rooting for you.
Right, yes, 100%.
We were all rooting for you. It makes me really sad. It does make me really sad. It also, like, I think translates to, in a weird way, like when I was shirtless in front of the mirror, I was like, wait, do I look like crap now because I'm not spray tanned and like in a dark room with like my thong hanging out? I think it really has bad reverberating effects.
I'm as a pale fans. Bitch. I mean, throw me a loop, Chloe. Throw me a bone.
Seriously. Well, hopefully this is some come to Jesus moment for Chloe, because we have all talked about on this podcast how her Facetune has gotten, let's say, a little bit extreme. And we love Chloe. No matter what you look like, you do not have to be a sex bomb to be valuable to us. You are enough, to pale or tan, you know. So we'll see how this story develops. I'm sure this is not the last time we'll be talking about it, because the Kardashians' images are their bread and butter. Well, thank you to my hosts, who, you look great. You look great during this summertime. You both look really nice. Sarah and Gwen, for helping me spill this piping hot celebrity this week. This is Travis Cronin on Hot Hollywood with your weekly peek into the glamour, glitter, fashion, fame of your favorite celebrities. Do not forget to like, subscribe, comment, tell a friend, tell a relative. You can see people now. Say, you know who's great? Those Hot Hollywoods. All right.
Crazy kids.
Those crazy kids on Hot Hollywood. They're always giving me the fun takes and the news I need. And, you know, don't forget, celebrities, they're just like us. Thank you, guys. We'll see you next week.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.